But here we are to look at these, the purpose for why God is answering this prayer. And we're going to find that in verse, he's told him in verse 23 that he had come to show him something, to reveal something, that he would understand the matter and consider the vision. And so now he's going to give him a vision. And this really is the third vision in a sequence of four that Daniel receives. And so we're going to look at this. Verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So we start off right off the bat, and he gives a time frame. 70 weeks are determined. And so, fascinating to me is that God has a timetable. He has a plan by which he operates. And the number 70 has already been used in this chapter once before in verse 2. Because he read in Jeremiah of the prophecy that 70 years were purpose of punishment upon the nation of Israel. We know from Chronicles why God chose 70 years. He chose that specifically because every time, every 7 years, they were supposed to stop planting the ground, they were supposed to stop working it, and allow the ground to rest. And that was to be an acknowledgement that the ground was the Lord's. It was the Lord's land, and they were to take a great step of faith that in the sixth year, he would provide enough food for them, not only in the sixth, but in the seventh, and then in the eighth year, so that they would have enough to plant in the eighth year. So it was a massive step of faith. Israel did not have that faith, and they stopped observing the Sabbath years. And so for 70 cycles, they went through ignoring God's commandments. And God says, okay, because you did not allow the land to rest, I'm going to take you captive. You're going to be taken out of the land, and the land is going to rest because you're not going to be there. And so when you talk about God's justice, the punishment always fits the crime. You talk about 40 days looking in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden, and then he says you're going to spend 40 years in relationship every day. And God, he loves to correspond things in a pattern like this. And when you look at it, you see, okay, we've got the Sabbath years of seven, but there was also every seven Sabbath cycles, there was supposed to be a year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee was they would blow the trumpet, and if you owed any debt, it was all forgiven. And if you had sold your land, it came back to you again. And everything basically, it was like a giant reset on the entire country, and everything went back to the way it was in the beginning, and the way it started off. And it was supposed to come back over and over and over again. And so there's pictures here that God was working. And so there's an aspect to which, yes, the years are literal. And if it was not literal, why would Daniel have gotten excited and started praying? Jeremiah's prophecy was 70 years, and it was 70 years on the dot. It was exactly what God said. But God chose the number that he chose, literal years, because it had symbolic value. How many years did they ignore the land? 490 years. 70 sets of weeks. Then there was 70 years of captivity. Now at the end of that, God says, I'm going to set another set exactly proportional to the time that you did not observe the land. Now I'm going to give an additional 70 sets of 7 years that is basically I've determined to accomplish this in this time frame. So it's kind of beautiful how on one side their sin is the exact amount of time that God's setting for when the restoration for their sin is going to take place. And so God is, again, beautifully balancing. And I just kind of go, interesting. I'm fascinated by things that I don't want to raise hopes beyond what I think the Lord's coming soon. But how many years was it before the flood? If you count up the genealogies, you're getting it's roughly Adam lived 1,000 years. He lived 900 years. Then he had a son. And you start adding up, there was 10 generations, and they averaged somewhere close to about 100 years before that son was. You're looking at a little somewhere, I didn't exactly look up the number, because I'm not, this is off script, I know. it's somewhere close to 2,000 years before the flood. And then you have a period of time from the flood coming into Jesus Christ coming, and we're sitting at 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years from the death of Christ. And we're looking at the total of the world being somewhere around, if you take a literal aspect of the genealogies and you've got dates and numbers and things, going back to Adam, we're looking at about 6,000 years. And so it always makes me wonder, did God plan 6,000 years for the earth? And then a millennial reign on the seventh to be 1,000 years? You know, God works in patterns. I think when he undoes and reveals what he's doing, it's going to be like, all that and this too? I mean, the perfection of your plan? So I'm not setting a date here for the Lord's return, but we can say it could be approximately soon. it could be today. So that's just the reality of things. So, why is God setting 490 years or 70 sets of weeks? It has everything to do with the meaning and purpose of the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. The Sabbath year was meant to be a time of rest and restoration. God rested on the seventh day. We just started in Genesis. Beautiful picture. And yet God established in that he meant from the very beginning that his pattern of life and the way he did things was meant to be a pattern for us to follow. And so that seven-day cycle came before there was ever sin. But after sin, the seven-day cycle took on greater meaning and greater significance. The curse came upon the land, on the ground. Noah means rest. And when he was named, he's one of the only ones that's actually given a meaning for his name. And it says, because Lamech names Noah and says, because in his time, we're going to experience rest and comfort from the curse of the ground that we're underneath. And there was a renewing process that went through the flood. We don't understand exactly what's going on, but somehow the curse was taking a death grip on the ground and on production, and on life. And as man was getting more and more debauched, the curse was getting worse and worse, I think, on the earth. And so there's an aspect, there was this great longing and yearning. God, something's got to happen. And God sent the flood, wiped out the wicked, renewed the face of the earth, and gave rest to that aspect. Part of what this aspect of rest now becomes is, it's a dealing with sin. Sin, work, was not a part of the fall, but toil and hardship and difficulty in work and the need for rest physically is based off of the fall. So rest means redemption. That's why it tells us, there yet remaineth a rest for the people of God. That's what heaven is. It's a rest. It's a Sabbath. So what God intends to accomplish at the end of these 70 weeks is the ultimate rest for the people of God. But also this in terms of the Jubilee was actually, it's dealt specifically with the land, so it goes back to the idea of the curse, and it has the idea of resetting debts and returning people to their rightful property and their rightful inheritance. What is this communicating? But God restoring in the Jubilee, the trumpet sounding, that man is going to return back to the time and inherit the earth the way it was meant to be, and the cancellation of sin and debt will be removed, and everything, it's the great reset that God's accomplishing in the world. So the year of Jubilee is just a picture of what God intends to do at the end. So therefore, he takes the numerology surrounding the significance of these days and applies them to the fulfillment when those, the spiritual realities to which those things were symbolizing are being fulfilled. And so there's something really big going on at the end of these 70 weeks. So that's part of what's going on. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. I cannot emphasize this enough. It's very clear what God has determined. He tells, and he's speaking to who? Yeah, well, he's speaking specifically, thy is singular, so he's got one person in mind. Daniel. Your people, Daniel, which is the Jews. And your city, Daniel, which is Jerusalem. Look back to verse 18 and 19. He says, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, behold our desolation. Who's our? Us, the Jewish people. And the city, which is called by thy name. That's Jerusalem. Then he goes down to verse 19. He gives those commands. He says, hear, forgive, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So what is the prayer of Daniel all about? Two things. The people of Israel, God's people, whom he had chosen, whom Daniel was a part of, and the city of God's people, the city of Jerusalem, that was going to be the center place of God's ruling and reigning according to his prophecy and his intention throughout the Psalms. Okay, so now God's answering the prayer, and he's giving him a vision of the very things that he asked for. So this 70 weeks needs to be interpreted in the way that it's given, very clearly. This 70 weeks has to do about Israel and about the city of Jerusalem. Why is that so important, Pastor? That seems so obvious. No big deal. Because people don't, they deny it. They think this has 70 weeks has to do with the church. Has to do with the gospel going out. And and when you look at it, and it has everything to do, because you know what the final 70 week is? It's still yet future. It's still yet the tribulation period. And people are now teaching, and it's becoming something, actually, I'm finding more and more people are gravitating towards this, that we will actually go through the tribulation period. That we will be raptured after the end of 7 years. I'm not saying that's necessarily heretical, because there's no clear teaching that says this is from the scripture. We have to put things together from other passage scripture. But this right here is the building block. This is the only place in scripture that tells us how long the tribulation period is on the total. Now, when you come to Revelation, it will talk about 42 months. It'll talk about specifically half periods, but it never mentions the entire 7 year period. The only place you'll find that is right here in Daniel chapter 9. There's 1 week, 7 years appointed. And who is it for? The nation of Israel and Jerusalem to accomplish God's purpose with his people. That's why God raptures the church before the persecution, before the tribulation, because God has a specific plan and he is purposing it for that people. And if you say, well, God's saving people, there's a break here. There's going to be a gap. You're going to see the church age falls right into that gap. Well, Jewish people are getting saved. And so there's an aspect. But that this is not a part of the 70 weeks that are determined for. There's a specific time frame, specific epoch in which God is working specifically through the nation of Israel. And so I think this, to me, is incredibly clear if we just take the words at face value and interpret them on the basis of what they're saying. Now, that becomes very important. If that interpretation, why emphasize that? Because we need to look at the purpose statements for why he is setting these 70 weeks. And he gives six of them. Beautiful. Finish the transgression. Make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy. And to anoint the most holy. You can divide these up in different ways. You can divide them up two sets of three. Because the first sets of three all have words for sin. transgression, sin, iniquity. God's going to take care of. When the 70 weeks are done, iniquity's done. Sin is over with for the nation of Israel. All right, then at the end he says, then there's a positive thing to bring in everlasting righteousness, and not just taking away sin, but bringing something to replace it, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the Most Holy. We'll talk about those in just a moment. Now, you can divide these up now as well into three sets of two parallels, like type things. And why is that? Because of the verbs. The verb to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, those two verbs are meaning the same thing. So it's inviting a tight parallelism. Then to make reconciliation and bring in everlasting righteousness is inviting us to see those two concepts side by side. And then to seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the Most Holy as those taking place at the same time. All right, so exactly what's going on? We're interpreting this in relationship not just to the entirety of the world, but to the nation of Israel, God's plan and program for them. Because what was he burdened about? What did he keep mentioning over and over again in his prayer? We have sinned. How long are we going to be rebellious? And we talk about it all the time. Oh yeah, that cycle of Israel, down and down and down and down. Daniel saw that, he knew that, he felt that, and he said, God, when's it going to stop? And God says, I'll tell you exactly when it's going to stop. In 70 more sets of seven, I will make an end to it. And so what he's saying here is that this is not the end of rebellion against God, but this is the end when Israel will never sin against God. Why is that the case? Because in my understanding of how the end times work, Israel comes to God before the millennial kingdom. They all repent, they all believe, they are all issued into the new kingdom, and they never turn against God. Now the nations live underneath the rule of God, Jesus Christ, literally on the earth for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that time, the nations actually rebel against Jesus Christ and throw off his reign. So rebellion doesn't finish at the end of the tribulation period, but it does for the nation of Israel. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important to interpret this in light of Israel, not the world. But God's going to end this cycle for them specifically. Then let's see here. Let's to make reconciliation for iniquity. This goes back to the word reconciliation is quite literally the word atonement. He's going to make atonement. Well, that very clearly, that goes back in our minds to the Day of Atonement, that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of. And in fact, a part of this prophecy is that after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. It's not explained about why or how and all. It's not in detail with that, but Isaiah 53 provides all that information. The New Testament does as well. He is providing the reconciliation and the atonement. Now, those who believe that we're going to go through the tribulation period, or those who believe that there is no literal thousand-year reign of Christ, and that we're actually right now in the thousand-year reign of Christ because he's ruling in heaven and we're his kingdom here on the earth, if those interpretations, they see this Daniel's prophecy as being fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus Christ. And they say, aha, to make atonement for iniquity. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. And yes, that is a part of these 70 weeks. But he's saying at the end of the 70 weeks, this is all going to be accomplished. So exactly how does that work? Well, if you understand, Jesus did not fulfill, hear me out, the Day of Atonement at his crucifixion. He fulfilled the Passover. He died on the Passover. He was the Passover lamb. He was making atonement. He fulfilled all that the Day of Atonement spiritually was pointing for. But the Day of Atonement itself was actually a day of great mourning and of great weeping. And Israel was supposed to come before the presence of God and repent of all of their sins because of the atonement that was taking place. And so they were to actually to have their sins confessed on the animal, and the animal was to be sent out and to be cast out into the wilderness to die. When is the Day of Atonement going to be fulfilled for them? It's not when Jesus died. It's when the blood is applied to them. When the entire nation, every one of them, as Zechariah 12 says, individually repents of their sins and comes to God. That's when the Day of Atonement is fulfilled for the nation. And that takes place at the end of 7-year tribulation when Jesus Christ comes and they look upon him whom they have pierced. The scripture fits together very beautifully. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Do I have time to finish? I'll skim it and I'll come back. To bring in everlasting righteousness means, yes, Jesus brought righteousness through his death and we can have it imputed to our account. But he's talking about righteousness lived out, an everlasting righteousness, real in their lives. That takes place at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to live in righteousness. To seal up the vision and prophecy, that means to fulfill everything that I've promised that I would do for you. Everything in these book of Daniel, all of it's going to be have the seal of saying it's been fulfilled, it's been authenticated. So if there's one prophecy in Daniel that is pointing towards the future of when Jesus Christ comes again, then the promise is not fulfilled until that has been done. Does that make sense? Therefore, very clearly, these prophecies point to an end time little horn who's going to come in the last days in the tribulation period. Therefore, the purpose of the 70 weeks is not fulfilled until the last days, not the first coming of Jesus Christ. And then to anoint the most holy, those who see Jesus, they would say, oh, that's Jesus Christ. He's the Holy One. And he's anointed with oil by the Holy Spirit as baptism. Now we've got it. We've got the interpretation. And then he goes on for a 3.5-year period of time of ministry. Anyway, I don't have to get off on all that. This is pointing towards the anointing of the holy place because it is desolate. It's desolate when Daniel prays. It's been destroyed. It will be desolated again by the Antichrist. And there's the need and restoration of man to be able to enter into the holy place and the holy temple of God. That will take place when Jesus Christ comes again. And so when the 70 weeks are done, God's program and fulfillment of the 1,000-year reign of Christ through the nation of Israel on the earth will be commencing. And so that's where the purpose and the focus of all this is. And God's going to do it just right on his timetable, as he has promised. We'll dive in next time and look at the actual breaking of each of these events. And what's the start and ending point of each one of the 7 and the 62 and the one final week. And try to hopefully give you a better understanding. And I may open it up, if we have time, which I rarely have time, may open it up for some questions just to make sure that there's any curiosity about this particular passage. We've answered the question. So anyway, we have about 5 minutes for our next service, so I better pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, giving us the assurance of what you're going to do and just fulfilling everything you've said right down to the letter. And so, Lord, we look forward to you coming again. You've promised that you'll come again. And we look forward to examining some of that promise and what that means for us in the morning message. Lord, would you just touch our hearts and prepare us, Lord, for that day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you know what song?
No.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. Let's all stand as we start off. Wish everyone a happy new year. It'll be exciting to see what the Lord brings this year. So it'll be exciting. Let's all start off our service.